Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And good Saturday morning. And while we are not at St. Eubus Cathedral this morning, we are in Alberta, Alabama, at Scott's Marine's Open House and Boat Show. And want to invite all of our Alabama listeners to come on by, either during the show or after. Say hello, and we'll talk a little bit outdoors. We've got a great lineup of guests this morning. And Lucio Orfanello, the owner here, is with us. And he's put together this boat show. We were here last year. And, Lucio, looks like you got some beautiful equipment out here. Tell me some of the better buys if people are in the market for boats or maybe even buggies.
Well, thank you, Don. That rain is over with. We have a couple of, we have really three great deals going on today on with our lines. On our pontoon tri-tune line, we have a Regency that has over $14,000 off on the price of that boat today. We have a Tracker Pro Team 190, one of our most popular fishing boats. We have $27.95 off in that boat today. In the Boating Magazine Boat of the Year, the 2024 Tahoe T21, we have that boat today for $45,975.
Very good, very good. Now, what else have you got going on out here? This is the last day. This has been going on most of the week.
Yes, we have free dog prizes for everyone. We have shirts, hats, fishing buoys, fishing poles. So hopefully everybody will come on out today and get some of these free prizes we have today.
All right. We also got a local fisherman going to be joining us a little while, Captain Patrick Garmison of Ugly Fishing. He's going to be joining us to give us a little bit of a fishing report. One of our regular Alabama listeners, Wingbone, the turkey call maker's here. And if you're interested in seeing how a wingbone turkey call is made, he can give you a little demonstration. And if you'd like to make one, he makes these for customers. He just got to supply some bones for him to do it. We'll get a little demonstration from him. Also, Uncle Larry of Uncle Larry's Spices and Seasonings. And, of course, he's the purveyor of that wonderful product, Ready, Set, Gumbo. If you like gumbo Louisiana style and you don't like all the chopping of the vegetables and all the work that goes along with it, Uncle Larry's got it all together for you. He's also got the stew and a few and a whole lot of spices. He's going to have some samples for you here. If you want to taste it, come on by in a little bit. He'll be here about after 6 o'clock and probably here till around lunchtime. So come on by and take advantage of it. Shop and take a look at some of these beautiful boats that he's got out here. And, you know, you got can talk about service if somebody needs service. What time is your service department opening up?
On Saturdays, we open from, service is open from 8 to 12. Sales is open from 8 to 1. We have certified techs here, so if it's a Yamaha and a Mercury, we could sure take care of all the warranty needs and anything the customer needs.
All right, very good. I'm getting some text messages in. We invite our listeners at 504-260-1870. And the backstrap stacker, he's at St. Paul's in Mobile today, and he's inviting everybody to come by and get some ribs and shrimp. He said it should be a great day in the outdoors, and I certainly agree with that, and we thank him for being a regular listener here. All right, we also have let's see. He said he wish. Oh, he can't make it today. He's got a cook-off, and he said the weather should be out of here. Yeah, we had a real tough night was weather-wise, but I think it's all through now. It's pretty quiet, and looks like we're going to maybe get dried up, even though it'll be a little bit cloudy. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back here to Scotts Marine, Alberta, Alabama. And, oh, almost forgot. We're going to be talking to LSU Tiger linebacker Wes Weeks about his feral hog hunting experiences, and you can watch it on Bayou Wild TV. It's a preview presented by our great sponsor, Sunshine Equipment, your hometown local John Deere dealer. We'll be back right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network from Scotts Marine, Alberta, Alabama.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, again, we're at Scotts Marine, Alberta, Alabama, Highway 98, beautiful dealership. He's got some super deals, some of the best prices you're going to get all year's worth. We're getting early into the season. Stop by, Riley Cooper's here with sales, and Lucio Orfanello, they do service work. So stop by here and talk a little hunting and fishing with us. We're going to be out here till 7 o'clock on the air, but we're going to be here for most of the day, so come on out if you run a little bit late. All right, let's go down to Shell Beach, Louisiana, and talk to Robbie Campo. Robbie, man, we had a blow came through here between 2 and 4 that kind of rocked the world. How was things down there in Shell Beach? Is it all out of there yet?
Well, Don, we had that blow yesterday evening right around dark. It was, oh, my God, it was terrible. Lightning popping everywhere. Man, it was. I was down here at 5 o'clock yesterday evening, actually a little after 5. And, well, that stuff came through yesterday evening. It had this place shaking a little bit. lightning, I'm telling you, lightning hit so close, and it was kept striking and striking and striking. I was like, oh, my God, I don't get hit by this, I don't know. But it was pretty intense for a hot minute. So, yeah, and I figured it was moving eastward, so y'all would be getting it around, you know, midnight, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was pretty intense, but things kind of calmed down a little bit. It's blowing out of the northwest about, I don't know, anywhere from 7 to 10 miles an hour. but I don't think that's going to, have too much effect on people fishing today. The water's up a little bit. Even though the wind's blowing out of the northwest, I guess what it's doing is pushing that water from this side of the lake, holding it up a little bit. But I tell you, Don, we've seen some really, really good catches of fish come through here this week. You know, things are starting to turn on, man. I'm pretty excited about what I saw this past week. Some really nice catches of speckled trout up on the edge of this, outskirts of this marsh where Lake Elwha meets Bay Elwha, right up on that edge. A lot of 12.5-inch fish in those fish that's going to be ready for spring. A lot of nice, really nice keepers that was caught this past week. We've seen some nice catches come from over on the Stone Island side. And actually, the water was good over there. I know everybody can say, oh, man, it ain't river water. No, the water was pretty over there. So, I'm excited about what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. Bunch of redfish caught yesterday north and south of the Mystico. So, if you wanted to fish Biloxi Marsh today, Biloxi Marsh is good. Over on the south side of the Lake Robin area, plenty of redfish being caught over there. I mean, that redfish bite yesterday, you'd think yesterday with the wind blowing like it was blowing 25 yesterday for sure. And I'm telling you, the table was full here a lot of the time during the day yesterday. It was, I seen a lot of good catches of redfish come in yesterday, and I got pictures to prove it. So it was a good day yesterday. A couple things, Don. And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that boat show in Gonzales this weekend also going on? Isn't that happening this weekend?
It's either this weekend or next.
Okay.
You're right. I think it is this weekend.
At the Lamar Dixon over there.
They got one in Biloxi. Yeah. I'm going to be there tomorrow at the Gulf Coast Coliseum. We got a big one here in Alberta, Alabama. This is the big one.
Okay, so wherever you are, I'm sure there's a CETO booth there. Get your CETO membership.
Yeah, sure, and that's coming from a marina operator that gets a lot
exactly
of phone
right.
calls.
Yeah, so make sure you spend your money on something that's worth spending your money on. Make sure you have that CETO membership, people. Another thing I wanted to mention last week, Don, we got people they're gearing up to go. Check your wheel bearings do a little bit of maintenance here. Check your wheel bearings. Had one come down here, wheel fell off soon to turn the parking lot. Check your wheel bearings. Check your grease in your wheel bearings. Pump them up. A lot of people don't think about this kind of stuff, Don. It's just stuff that it's just maintenance and they don't think about it. And, you got to do a little bit of stuff on your boat,
I just packed it, all your trailers. If you got a utility trail or any kind of trailer,
exactly.
You got to pack those wheel bearings.
Robbie. Just some good advice, that's all.
Oh, hey, you got a lot of it. Lucio, do you sell CETO packages here with your boats? Do you have that? Is it available?
It is available.
Okay, very good.
It is available.
Robbie, I want to remind everybody that that's next Sunday, right? March 17th, Bayou Cleanup.
Yeah, the Bayou Cleanup's here at Campos next Sunday. If you don't have a boat, don't worry about it. There's going to be boats. All we need is people. We need bodies here to help pick up the stuff, the debris that's across the bayous, and don't worry about it if you don't have a boat. We got plenty of boats. We'll have plenty of boats so you can get on, go get this done. So we need people. So we need volunteers to come out and help do this. So it's going to be be a great event. Be the third time we're doing this. Come on out and join the fun.
Yeah, and they got fried catfish and jambalaya. Tiwi's on the bayou is going to be there, and they're going to get a reward.
Exactly.
Let me ask
right.
you this. Do you get to keep any treasures that you find? If you find a treasure while you're picking up trash, can you keep it or you got to turn it in?
If you want. No, I guess you can if you want. We never really had anybody find any kind of treasures. I don't really know.
Hey, you know what they say. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Exactly right. And what do you consider a treasure? I'm not sure.
Yeah, me either. Well, Robbie, we'll go check in with you next week. We'll be talking to you
the day before
and reminding people again. It's a great effort to clean up that bayou. And, you can volunteer. Call Jimmy Corley, 504-258-4431. Thanks for the report, as always,
yes,
Rob. We appreciate it, my friend.
Okay.
Take
care. All right, Don. All right, bye-bye.
All right, coming back right after this pause, we got Captain Patrick Garmison of Ugly Fishing. Why does he call it ugly fishing? Lucio,
Man, that's going to be a good question for him to answer.
Let's find out. He don't look that ugly. I can't blame it on him. It's the fishing. We'll be right back to do that. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque. We're having fun at the Scotts Marine, Alberta, Alabama, Highway 98. You need a boat, motor, Come on out and see him. We'll be right back after this. Well, the gates are open for the open house right here at Scott's Marine in Alberta, Alabama, Highway 98. Got a big sale going on. Come by and talk to the folks here. Just look at a boat. Maybe you're in the market. Maybe you're going to be in the market in the future. Get an idea of what's available. They've got all different kind of models. They've got Trackers. They've got Mako, Tahoe, Regency, SunTrack, and even got some ATVs and side-by-sides. So come on by here and see Lucio and Riley and the gang here. We're talking right now with Captain Patrick Garmison. We talked with him about this time last year. And the big question, everybody now wants to know, ugly fishing.
Ugly
I'm sure
fishing.
You get asked that on a regular basis.
Yes, sir. Well, the story's a little bit easy. When I was in my earlier 20s, I was in a fishing club called the ACFA, Alabama Coastal Fishing Association. We had an online forum. At the time, I was using a lot of ugly sticks, so I used my handle as Ugly Stick, and then everybody started calling me ugly out in public and everything. So I just kept that going, and then whenever I started my business, I was like, man, I need to have something that's going to be memorable, that sticks with people, and just went with Ugly Fishing. And, man, I tell you what, you never know when you're going to have an ugly day of fishing.
Well, you asked for it. I promised you it was going to be ugly.
I set the bar low, right?
Yeah,
set the
go.
Bar low. The guys that set their bar at, like, limit out fishing and crush them all fishing or whatever, it's like, man, you're setting the bar up high. And you got to hit that. So I set the bar low, shoot high, and we go for it.
Hey, that's the way to do it. Patrick, where are you fishing right now this time of year?
So still in a little bit of the tidal rivers, but we are starting to move out into the bay. The speckled trout are moving out. We actually got stuck fishing the marsh yesterday because winds were absolutely howling. So we got in some marsh and did some red fishing, did phenomenal redfish. I just kind of really mix it up based on where my customers are coming from, but I fish the bay, I fish the Gulf for sheephead. The sheephead are moving out into open waters out and around the gas rigs and the nearshore platforms because they're about to start spawning. So they're really grouping up. The bull reds are starting to gang up around the passes and around the beaches and stuff. So we're sight fishing bull reds. Speckled trout are still around, but really that's kind of probably my lowest priority right now. Really, what I like to focus on this time of year is redfish and sheephead. And they're not disappointing.
Well, this week the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission filed a notice of intent to change the redfish regulations in Louisiana to go from 5 to 4 fish. An 18 to 27 inch slot, which raises that lower end up, and the guides cannot keep their own limit on the boat, and you can't keep any bull reds over 27. Do you feel sorry for them?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And compared to Alabama, how does that stack up?
So we have ours is 16 to 26 inches, mm-hmm. 3 per person. Legally, the guide can keep his limit, but I opt to not keep my limit. Most of the time, we have 3 to 4 anglers on the boat, so 9 redfish. I mean, in my opinion, is good, and in my eyes, I have to do what I need to do to protect the resources.
Right.
So, if the next guy that comes along, we still have plenty of fish to catch.
Well, you know, if it improves the population, and you go out there and you get 20 bites, and you keep 3 or 4 fish, fine. But if you go out there and you only get 6 or 7 bites and you catch 5, what have you really accomplished? You didn't get to do the fishing is the thing.
Yeah, that's right.
On your speckled trout, what's the limit on your speckled trout?
We have 6 per person.
Yeah.
6 per person, and it's 15 inches to 22 inches in a slot. They are, excuse me, you are allowed to keep one over both the redfish and
Well, the gates are open for the open house right here at Scott's Marine in Alberta, Alabama, Highway 98. Got a big sale going on. Come by and talk to the folks here. Just look at a boat. Maybe you're in the market. Maybe you're going to be in the market in the future. Get an idea of what's available. They've got all different kind of models. They've got Trackers. They've got Mako, Tahoe, Regency, SunTrack, and even got some ATVs and side-by-sides. So come on by here and see Lucio and Riley and the gang here. We're talking right now with Captain Patrick Garmison. We talked with him about this time last year. And the big question, everybody now wants to know, ugly fishing.
Ugly fishing.
You get asked that on a regular basis.
Yes, sir. Well, the story's a little bit easy. When I was let's see, in my earlier 20s, I was in a fishing club called the ACFA, Alabama Coastal Fishing Association. We had an online forum. At the time, I was using a lot of ugly sticks, so I used my handle as Ugly Stick, and then everybody started calling me ugly out in public and everything. So I just kept that going, and then whenever I started my business, I was like, man, I need to have something that's going to be memorable, that sticks with people, and just went with Ugly Fishing. And, man, I tell you what, you never know when you're going to have an ugly day of fishing.
Well, you asked for it. I promised you it was going to be ugly.
I set the bar low, right?
Yeah,
set the bar low. The guys that set their bar at, like, limit out fishing and crush them all fishing or whatever, it's like, man, you're setting the bar up high. And you got to hit that. So I set the bar low, shoot high, and we go for it.
Hey, that's the way to do it. Patrick, where are you fishing right now this time of year?
So still in a little bit of the tidal rivers, but we are starting to move out into the bay. The speckled trout are moving out. We actually got stuck fishing the marsh yesterday because winds were absolutely howling. So we got in some marsh and did some red fishing, did phenomenal redfish. I just kind of really mix it up based on where my customers are coming from. But I fish the bay, I fish the Gulf for sheephead. The sheephead are moving out into open waters out and around the gas rigs and the nearshore platforms because they're about to start spawning. So they're really grouping up. The bull reds are starting to gang up around the passes and around the beaches and stuff. So we're sight fishing bull reds. Speckled trout are still around, but really that's kind of probably my lowest priority right now. Really, what I like to focus on this time of year is redfish and sheephead. And they're not disappointing.
Well, this week the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission filed a notice of intent to change the redfish regulations in Louisiana to go from 5 to 4 fish, an 18 to 27 inch slot, which raises that lower end up. And the guides cannot keep their own limit on the boat, and you can't keep any bull reds over 27. Do you feel sorry for them?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And Compared to Alabama, well, how's that stack up?
So we have ours is 16 to 26 inches, three per person. Legally, the guide can keep his limit, but I opted to not keep in my limit. Most of the time we have 3 to 4 anglers on the boat, so 9 redfish. I mean, in my opinion, is good, and in my eyes, I have to do what I need to do to protect the resources. Right. So, if the next guy that comes along, we still have plenty of fish to catch.
Well, you know, if it improves the population, and you go out there and you get 20 bites, and you keep 3 or 4 fish, fine. But if you go out there and you only get 6 or 7 bites and you catch 5, what have you really accomplished? You didn't get to do the fishing is the thing.
Yeah, that's right.
On your speckled trout, what's the limit on your speckled trout?
We have 6 per person.
Yeah.
6 per person, and it's 15 inches to 22 inches in a slot. They are, excuse me, you are allowed to keep one over both the redfish and the speckled trout. But there again, I always protect those as my breeder fish, and we tag and release all of our fish that are over the slot.
Yeah. Does many of your customers want to keep those big fish?
Not necessarily. A lot of times if we do catch a really big speckled trout, it's I don't know, they just think you got to keep it. It's like, well, you know what, we can take a really nice picture of it. We can tag this fish. I do a lot of tagging for the CCF Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
We deployed almost 100 tags on redfish this week.
Wow.
So a lot of times we'll tag them, and quite regularly we get reports back on this fish being recaptured. So not only do you get you have the lifelong picture, and then you tag it, and then you may get a little story about the fish in weeks or months to come.
People think they need to kill the fish to get it mounted too. Do you work with a taxidermist who does fine glass reproductions from measurements and pictures?
I do. Gray's Taxidermy.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
So they, we can take a good picture, take a measurement, and they can have a replica made that looks like a fish that just came out of the water.
Very good. Patrick, before we go, if somebody wants to call you, talk fishing, get some reports, they can come by and see you. You'll be here for a little while after the show.
Yeah, I'll be here for a little bit.
But give your phone number out and website. You got a great website, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The website is the best place to go. It's uglyfishing.com. All of my social media links are on the homepage, as well as my contact information. But my number is 251-747-1554.
And that is on the website. Well, I'm going to let you go talk to Lucio because he's going to try to sell you a new boat for your business.
Yeah, I bet he is.
And when we come back, I'm going to be talking to an LSU Tiger linebacker. I'm talking about West Weeks. He went on a wild feral hog hunt with dogs and airboats. Whew, and we got it on Bayou Wild TV. We'll preview it when we come back right after this. We're broadcasting today from Scott's Marine. Come by and see us. It's in Alberta, Alabama, Highway 98, an open house and boat show. We're back right after this. All right, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission met this week. In addition to that redfish change I was talking about, we set the red snapper season for Louisiana. Last year, we had 56,123 pounds short. We were under the allocation. Now, the way this works is they do not allow you to add those back on to your next year's quota. If you go over, though, they deduct it off of your quota. It's one of those kind of deals. So that in mind, they decided to set the season early this year to take advantage of it. So that total, it's almost a million pounds now. It's 934,587 to be exact. It's going to open up on April 15th, this is for recreational private anglers, 4 fish per person, 7 days a week, and it'll be open until that allocation is estimated to be reached. So that's some great news if you're a snapper fisherman. If you're not a snapper fisherman, you might want to be one, because you get 3-4 guys on a boat and you go out and catch 4 big snappers apiece, beautiful fish, good fishing. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause. When I come back, it's LSU Tiger time and also Feral Hog Hunter. I'm talking about West Weeks. He joins us next, right after we let our local stations identify themselves along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Ooh, we might get in trouble playing that here in Alabama. I feel like I'm kind of in enemy territory, behind enemy lines. Help me out here, West Weeks. How you doing this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, it's all SEC, so it's all good. Wes, oh, yeah, we want to talk about, you know, this is a presentation. It's called a sneak preview to Bayou Wild's Tigers in the Wild episodes, which you are one of the stars of, and it's a presentation of Sunshine Equipment, your hometown John Deere dealer. And this was not your first hog hunt. It was in the marsh, but you've done some hunting in Georgia, haven't you?
Yeah, I grew up doing a lot of hunting. Some of my friends are big hog hunters back home, and I've killed some pretty big hogs. And I've been out with them a few times, but it was nothing like going in the airboats and going in the marsh.
Tell me about that. How did the trip go? And for people, what will they see on Bayou Wild TV if they go to YouTube and or catch it on one of our affiliates and watch the hunt?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it was one of the cooler things I've ever done in my life. I've never been on an airboat like that. And for your first time being on an airboat doing hog hunting is a pretty cool experience. And then also getting to see how the dogs worked was really cool. So yeah, I think it's going to be a cool episode. And I think they got a lot of good footage of us having some fun out there.
You look like a crane trying to walk through that marsh, you know? Marsh walking's not the easiest thing to do, is it?
Oh, no, it is not. I walked for probably about 2 miles in it, and it was probably felt like just like I did a football workout. It's pretty tough to get through there. It's real thick.
Yeah, well, that's a good workout. Yeah. I mean, maybe they ought to take the whole team and y'all do your practices in the marsh, man. You'd be super when you get on get on artificial turf after that.
Oh yeah, we would for sure. I don't know if some of the guys would make it. I don't know if they'd like being out there as much as me and my brother do.
Yeah, and what was the final take? You know, you were out there with—I call him Captain White Bean and Derek Poor, a couple of great guys. How many hogs did y'all put on the table?
I think we ended up getting 35 of them, which was pretty close to one of their records or something. Which was kind of cool because we started out pretty slow. For probably about the first hour and a half, we probably only saw about 4 or 5, and then it was like all of a sudden we just hit the jackpot and started smashing them.
If you're just joining us this morning, we're at Scott's Marine in Alberta, Alabama, and we're talking with LSU linebacker West Weeks. He's turned into a hog hunter, a feral hog hunter, and a pretty good one. Went into Louisiana Marsh out of Delcrum. in Erath and did it down there with the troops and Tusk guys. You know, what we did in that episode, Wes, was we wanted to make sure that people just didn't say, oh, they're going out there and just slaughtering these hogs mm-hmm. and wasting them.
Yes,
but we actually showed what happens to them. Tell people about it.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the coolest parts of the trip with working with the troops in Tusk. So all the hogs we killed, they skinned them up, and I'm pretty sure they donate them to food banks and stuff around. And, I mean, 35 hogs can feed a lot of people, so it felt good knowing that all that meat was going for a good cause.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win situation, you know, because those hogs need to be controlled. They're out of control, and they do an awful lot of damage to agriculture and compete with some of the natural wildlife, too. Well, tell me what's going on football-wise. What stage of training and practice are you guys in?
This is our first week of spring ball, so it's been a real fun week being able to get back out on the field, and it's been real exciting.
As far as your experience, you know, you and your brother, Georgia boys, settling down here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, how's it been? What can you tell people that may be thinking about being recruited, and what kind of choice would it be to come to LSU?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, LSU really has everything. The people, the culture is so different than anywhere else. And, I mean, it really has been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me to come down here and learn what it's like to be a Cajun.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's some people here in Alabama that's sandwiched in between your Georgia and Louisiana that are not agreeing with being on this. Alabama's a pretty good place, too.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Well, Wes, we enjoyed talking with you. We enjoyed doing that feature. Best of luck to you guys on the season. Hope you can bring in a SEC championship and maybe even another national championship.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
All right, we'll talk later. Thank you so much, Wes. We appreciate it. Wes Weeks, you'll see him on the field. He's number 40 on the field and number 1 feral hog hunter. All right, we're coming back after this. Got some guests here. We're going to be talking to the man they call Wingbone, and we also have Captain Patrick Garmison talking fishing with Ugly Fishing. You want to come by and chat with him, see how these Wingbone calls are made, these turkey calls? He'll give you a little demonstration. We're at Scott's Marine, Highway 98 in Alberta. It's open house time, and you'll listen to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got a crowd down here, a small crowd. We're going to hope for a bigger crowd later today at Scott's Marine in Alberta, Alabama. We got some special guests, Captain Patrick Garmison of Ugly Fishing, and Mr. Ed, he's known as Wingbone, makes those turkey calls, and we're going to be chatting with them. Also got word from Uncle Larry Roussel. He's on his way, and he's bringing some gumbo, so you want to stop by and sample some of his gumbo. We'll be passing that out for breakfast and all the way into lunchtime. All right, Patrick, you heard I was talking about the red snapper season they set in Louisiana. Man, a lot of people are happy. Do you do any snapper fishing?
Yes, sir. I do a little bit. And it is a nice break for me to kind of break up the monotony of the inshore fishing. We can run out and do some snapper fishing. Ours has been Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for Alabama because I fall within the recreational sector. I don't have federal permits, so I fish within 9 miles. And it's a nice, easy run. You know, you run out. We're typically running six to 9 miles offshore, sometimes even closer, and catching those red snapper. A lot of times we're catching them around 18 inches or so, and, I mean, we've caught them all the way up to 24 pounds. So it's not like we're segregating ourselves away from not catching some really trophy-sized fish.
They need to up the allocation for Alabama, though. You guys, I think, are getting shortchanged.
Definitely.
Well, you know, we started the La Creole reporting method, and Alabama's kind of adopted their version of it, and I think it will lead to more generous limits and allocations. Fishing Alabama waters for snapper is different. We do a lot of rig fishing in Louisiana. You guys are mostly fishing structure on the bottom.
That's right. Yeah, we have a few rigs. That'll still hold some snapper. They get covered up with anglers pretty quickly, and then those fish typically get a little line shy and hook shy. So, fishing the reefs is definitely the better way to go. I think we have, I think there's over 10,000 reefs within state waters, And, I mean, 40, 50,000 reefs off the coast of Alabama.
It's very important for the Orange Beach. That red snapper is the target fish over there. And it's a great fish and a great sport. Well, we'll find out when your season's open. And if people want to check your website, I'm sure you have that information if they want to book a snapper trip with you.
Yes, sir. I'll put that up as soon as I hear. And typically they've been launched. They've been releasing that date sometime in April.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, it probably start around Memorial Day, I would think.
It has. Yeah, the last few years it started on Memorial Weekend.
You do any turkey hunting?
I have not turkey hunted.
Well, we got a man here that can fix you up with a call. His name is Ed Miller, but we call him Wingbone. Wingbone, first of all, give us a demonstration of what your call sounds like. Get closer to that mic where we can hear you. There you go.
This is a two-winged bone called a yelper.
All right. Hey, it's a turkey pecking on the door over there. Really works. Tell me how you do. This is a throwback for people that are purists. The old days, wing bones from turkey wings made calls. And who started making these? What's the history on them?
The Native Americans started making them. And in 1947, they found one, first one up in Tennessee. And then about 6 years ago, they found another turkey call in the state of Illinois. And the archaeologists date them something like 6500 B.C. to 4500 B.C. So,
well, you've turned it into an art, a craft. I mean, yours are very attractive as well as functional. Now, they don't do all the calls that the modern ones do, but you can kill a turkey with it for sure, because people did it for years, decades. That's what they were using. What goes into making one of these?
Well, first thing, you need turkey wings.
And it's like the chicken or the egg. Which comes first? You got to get a turkey before you can get a wing bone call.
Right. And then you separate them for the body, and that's when the fun begins. You have to clean them, scrape them. I use a hunting knife with the spine or the non-cutting edge to scrape that off. Then you boil them. I usually boil mine 3 or 4 times. And the first boils with a mixture of Dawn dishwashing soap and Borax. It decreases them. And then comes the fun. And is to cut them, because you got a big end on all three bones, and you got to cut them. But you can't just cut them anywhere. You got to cut them kind of long, because you're going to have to trim them up. And then you start fitting them like a little puzzle together. And that may take a little finesse and patience.
Well, you're very good at it, and you put a little artistic touch. You put tracks, turkey tracks on them. You can personalize them and put names on them and do different wrappings and different shades of the color, and you can really customize it. I wish that we had a TV instead of radio, because we could show it, but they can go to my Facebook page, and I've got some pictures of it up there. If they want to get a picture of yours or contact you, they can come here today and meet you and see the whole process and maybe order one from you. But if can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I just make them in my spare time. It's not a full-time job, but it's interesting.
And what is the Facebook page? What do they go to get to it?
It's just my personal. It'd be Ed Miller.
Ed Miller. Yeah. I think you need to change the Wingbone. People know you as Wingbone.
I'd agree.
I thought about that.
And maybe you can get Captain Patrick to get out there and shoot a turkey this season.
I don't know.
If you can get him out of the boat long enough.
Yeah. That will a little bee-eyed bird to make a fool out of you.
Yes, they will. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Captain Darryl Carpenter, find out what's going on Grand Isle and the area there. We'll do it right after this 3-minute pause for some important messages right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's open house time, and the sun will be coming up, hopefully, unless it's got some clouds. We had some pretty strong weather pass through the Alabama Mobile Delta area last night, but it seems to be over with, kind of clearing up, and the doors are open here at Scott's Marine, Alberta, Alabama, for an open house and boat sale. We got Captain Patrick Garmison if you want to come by and talk fishing. A man you just heard, Wingbone, talking about making those turkey calls. We got Uncle Larry here with his gumbo in the house. It'll be cranking up, and you can come by and get a free sample of gumbo. And, of course, the main thing, if you're shopping for a boat or a buggy, we got them here. All right, let's bring in Captain Darrell Carpenter. And, Darrell, boy, you heard about the red snapper that's been set, the season and the quota, and you might go back to fishing some snapper because Grand Isle is a place where a lot of those snapper trips begin.
Yeah, especially early in the season, Don, because they're good and close early in the season. So, you know, it could be something that I guess I got to go buy me some more offshore rods.
Yeah, well, that's a generous limit, 7 days a week, 4 fish per person, and opening early in April. So that's good news. Well, give me some good news about fishing down there. What's happening? Fish starting to move in north?
Oh, yeah, Don. In fact, I woke up this morning, and I'm like, oh, good. This was a spineless front that passed through here. But the wind just made it switch in the last 30 minutes, and it's starting to pick up a little bit. So, you know, unfortunately, Saturday and Sunday is going to probably be out, so another weekend. But, man, look, in them calm days that we're getting, we're not even running that far north. We've been more concentrating on things that are closer to the island just to see what's going on. And pre-front, the water down here it come up to about 70 degrees or a little bit higher, and they're not ganged up yet, but man, there's been a lot of trout showing up right around the island. Kind of close to it, working around these rocks and stuff that are behind the island, working around the island points, which is the typical early spring pattern if you want to stay close. And like I said, it's not a one-stop shop. You're going to work the trolling motor. You're going to have to cover some ground. But, man, there's been a lot of trout showing up around Grand Isle. And, you know, it's been the story the last couple of years, that early season bite especially has been more of your trophy bite. It's been some really nice fish, very few throwbacks, if any. And we keep this weather pattern going where it's been warm, and I think probably another 3, maybe 4 weeks, we're going to put the shrimp boat in the water here, you know, next day or so. So we'll get a look and see how thick the bait's getting here around the island. I'm starting to see some surface action, some mullets and stuff ganging up. So it's going to be, we're right on the cusp of it just breaking loose.
Darrell, a popular technique down in that area is to follow the birds. You know, the fish drive the bait up to the top, and then it attracts the seagulls, and it turns, and you got a racket, and it's all going on, and it's going to be some fast and furious fishing. About when do you think that'll be starting up, looking for birds?
That's probably going to be – we'll probably start seeing our first set of birds when those – we're kind of waiting to see what the brown shrimp season is going to be like, but that's more than likely going to be more of a – late April, May thing is when you'll start seeing your first flock showing up. Right now, you know, if you travel north into the marsh, every now and then you'll pass one of those marsh ponds that you'll see a flock of birds in them, and that's those baby brown shrimp, and or, you know, this time of the year the birds will work on those glass minnows on the anchovies. But you're going to start seeing the birds in the marsh, in the marsh ponds, chasing them little baby browns. That'll be your first indication that, hey, it's about to bust loose. But look, with this water temperature at 70 degrees already, those shrimp ought to be growing good. We're just, brown shrimp don't like fresh water. We had a drought last year. The marsh stayed real salty. So we're hoping for a really good brown shrimp season, which means a lot of them. When they start ganging up, the trout start picking on them. It drives them to the top. There's the birds. You just got to be real stealthy. I see a lot of people run right up into a flock of birds, and man, you got to work the wind and the current when it comes to them. You got to shut it down a little ways from them and just kind of drift into them. If not, you're going to spook them.
And hope it's not gaff tops and that it's trout, huh? Darrell, we're going to wrap up the first hour here. Give us your contact info real quick.
Well, they can find me on your site at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com. And or they can just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288. And the wind's supposed to blow pretty good for the next 2 days, so we got nothing but time to talk on the phone.
There you go. Thank you, Darrell. Appreciate your reports. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour with hour number two, we're going to talk to Lucio Orfanello, the owner here again, about his big open house and boat show going on. And also we're going to talk to Uncle Larry. Come get you some gumbo, Scotts Marine, Alberta. Hour number two is next.